I'm start out with telling you a story. And it's a story. It's fiction. It's not true. You got to remember this all the way through. Years ago, I was pastoring a church. Not this one. And it came a time when we needed a choir director, and we hired Gail for this choir director. And there'd been a fellow in the choir who'd been singing in the choir for 20 years. He only had one problem. He could not sing. Didn't take Gail very long to find out that this fellow in the choir could not sing. So she called a meeting of the choir and did not invite him to the meeting. And she said to the choir, "We all understand that Joe cannot sing." They said, "Yeah, we know he can't sing. He should not be in the choir." "No, he should not be in the choir. So we have to tell him he can't sing in the choir." Well, they want to know who was going to tell him he couldn't sing in the choir when he'd been singing there for 20 years. And they realized that this is no longer a question of music. This is now a question of spirituality. This was going to offend Joe very much when we told him he couldn't sing. So he realized it had to be the pastor's job to tell him that he could not sing. So Gail came to me and she said, "Joe cannot sing." I said, "Yeah, I know that. And he should not be in the choir." "No, he shouldn't be in the choir. But we realize this is a spiritual problem and we think you ought to take care of it instead of us." I said, "Fine, I will take care of it." So I called in Joe and I said, "Joe," I said, "you're the most faithful man in the church. We need somebody to be in charge of the children's church during the church service. You don't have to teach there, you just have to organize it and control it." And he said, "Well, Pastor, I'm really flattered that you thought of me, but I don't think you understand." He said, "My gift and calling is singing, and I couldn't let the choir down. I've got to sing in the choir." I said, "Well, Joe," I said, "we have another problem. We need someone to be in charge of the church ushers. And again, you're the most faithful man. Would you take that responsibility?" He said, "Pastor, I don't think you're listening." He said, "I told you that I couldn't quit singing. That's my gift and calling. I could not let the choir down." Well, I was seeing I was having some difficulty, so I said, "Well, Joe, let me put it to you straight." I said, "You can't sing." He said, what do you mean I can't sing?" I said, "You couldn't carry a tune in a bucket. Or a bushel basket. You just can't sing." He said, "Pastor, who told you that?" I said, "Well, if you want to know, the choir director, most of the choir, half the congregation told me that." He said, "Pastor, don't believe those people." He said, "The same people tell me you can't preach." Okay. I'm not going to sing, I'll preach. The last few months, I've been going through the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians 5. I'm going to read it to you again. "The acts of the sinful nature are obvious." Well, that's the works of the flesh. Verse 22. "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking, and envying each other." The first thing that I've covered each time, but I'll say it again, each of these fruit are the characteristics of the Holy Spirit. They're the characteristics of God. God is love. God is kind. Love is kind. We go through these and we find out this is the character of God. And it's the character of God that he's imparted to the believers. So it's normal for a Christian, just by being born again of the Holy Spirit, to have love and joy and peace and patience. You say, well, I can understand that one, but this last one, self-control, you say all these things are for the Spirit, but just the word self-control sounds like it's self-control. It's something that I control by myself. It isn't. It's still a fruit of the Spirit. You say, well, I can understand that I can't love somebody. I'll love him if it kills me. I'm going to do it by effort. I'll be kind by effort. I'll be patient by effort. None of those things work by effort. They have to be the fruit of the Spirit. So it is with self-control. Now, all of these things are commanded as well as fruit. In other words, we are commanded to love, we're commanded to rejoice, and when we carry out this act of obedience, we carry out this obedience by fruit, not by effort. God gives us the fruit, we obey and implement the fruit by choice, but not by willpower, just by will. There's a difference between willpower and will. Will is saying yes, and willpower is putting force behind it. It's like turning on the lights. Turning on the lights is an act of the will. I flip the switch. No effort on my part. All the effort is in Grand Coulee Dam. That's where the effort is. This is just will, not willpower. Now, if I had to crank the generator to get light, that would be willpower. But turning on the lights is God's power. I just use my will, but not my effort. Self-control, like the others, is effortless. No effort in it. He said, it is when I'm self-controlling. But by definition, that's not the self-control that the Bible describes. The Bible describes this as a fruit of the Spirit. It says, these things, against such things, there is no law. God has no law against love or against joy or peace or patience or kindness. God has no law against self-control. Law is against that other list earlier, the works of the flesh. And it tells us here, those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with his passions and desires. That first list, if we belong to Jesus Christ, have been put to death, have been crucified. Now, this isn't the only place it says it. You see it in Romans 6. We were dead to sin. We see it in Colossians 2:20. If we died with Christ, we see it in Galatians 2:20. I am crucified with Christ. We see it in Colossians 3:1. If you be risen with Christ. In other words, there's a death and resurrection when we pass from death to life. And when we put to death the sinful nature with its passions and desires. So that first list is put to death. The second list is that stuff that comes with the resurrection, the new life in Christ, including self-control. Now I'm going to look at a couple passages. Look in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 4. Well, let's jump to verse 6. So then, let us not be like others who are asleep, but let us be alert and self-controlled. Verse 7, for those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk at night. But since we belong to the day, let us be self-controlled, putting on faith and love as a breastplate and the hope of salvation as a helmet. This self-control goes along with things like faith and love and the hope of salvation. These are characteristics of the day, characteristics of the new life in Christ. The other things are characteristics of the works of the flesh. Night. Jim read Titus chapter 2. And in this chapter 2, it speaks of old men, older men. It speaks of older women. It speaks of young men. And it speaks of slaves. And it speaks of everybody. I'm going to just pull out a sentence or two of each of these things. Teach the older men to be temperate, worthy of respect, self-controlled, and sound in faith, in love, and in endurance. Teach the older men to be self-controlled. So it can be taught. It's a fruit. It can be taught. It can be obeyed. Older women. Verse 4. Then they can train the younger women to love their husbands and children, to be self-controlled and pure, to be busy at home, be kind and respect, to be subject to their husbands, so that no one will malign the word of God. The older women are to teach the younger women to be self-controlled. Young men, similarly, encourage young men to be self-controlled. And then down in verse 11, for the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. It teaches us, it, the antecedent of it, is grace of God. The grace of God teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled lives, upright and godly lives. Self-controlled can be taught. The grace of God teaches us to live self-controlled, godly lives. It's a fruit of the Spirit. It's effortless. Will, but not willpower. Will, but not effort. This is true with all of these things. Now, the wonderful thing about this is that we've all seeded in our lives in the first few weeks after our conversion, and then it disappeared. We saw this love, joy, peace, all of these things right as soon as we were saved. And sometime after that, we thought it took effort. And took no effort the day we were saved. I just, this last week, met a young man. Well, I've known him since before he was born. He's probably 20 now. And he came to me, he told me he'd been saved 3 months ago. And he was just overflowing with joy. He said he can't stay out of the Word. His mother took him and his older brother to lunch. And she just listened. And the two boys talked about God during the whole lunch. And she couldn't comprehend that. They'd been saved. We've all known that this is really a fruit of the Spirit, and we all experienced it when we first became a Christian. And then afterwards, we thought it took effort. When we first came to town, we met a woman, and as we got to know her, she was looking for a place for us to live, we found that there'd been a lay witness mission at the Methodist Church in February of 71. And this lay witness mission, we were a group of saved people who came through town and sang songs and testified, and a whole stack of Methodists were saved. And the lay witness mission went on to another town and left these new converted Methodists here. Now, they didn't know they had been saved. They just knew they were now happy Methodists. And they knew that this happiness was expressed in all this wonderful singing, so they met every Wednesday evening, and this group of happy Methodists sang. That was their expression. That's what it was during the mission, and that's what it was now. Met together to sing. Well, we moved to town in September. And I met these people. Met the one person and invited to the meeting, and I find out that they were still singing on Wednesday night. But now there's different reasons. This is in February and March and April, they were singing because they had joy. And they associated joy with singing, and their joy had disappeared. So now they're meeting on Wednesday night and singing to get joy. Before they were singing because they had joy, and now they were singing to get joy because they saw the association. It turned around from being a fruit to an effort. But they associated the two things. Well, it was wonderful, and I'm still in touch with these people 35 years later. Not all of them, but some of them. We turn things around from fruit to effort. And self-control seems to be the obvious one that takes effort because it's our self-control, or self-control. It's a nature of God. It's a fruit of the Spirit. It's given to us. And you say, are you sure? Yeah, I'm sure. You say, but you're not married to the person I'm married to. No, but I am married. Not the same person, but I can do things by self-control. I can do things by the fruit of the Spirit. And believe me, there's a difference. And believe me, Bessie knows the difference. I can say, I remember many years ago, when the kids were still small, and I don't know, I must have had a bad day at work, whatever it was, but I came home, and at the dinner table, the kids were had bad table manners or something. And I realized I had to correct them as head of the house, and I had to correct them in a sweet Christian way. So I used all the right Christian words, but they didn't come out sweet. Bessie was waving me at the other end of the table, go have your quiet time. Get your heart right before you correct the children. Because I was trying to do it by willpower, by using the right words without the right heart. And so my voice had a knife edge in it. And children know the difference. And a wife knows the difference. So, and you've heard me say this before, but I'll say it again. People come to me and say things like this. Jim, I tried to live the Christian life. I don't know why I fell. He said, that's why. That's why you tried to live the Christian life. The Bible doesn't say to try to live it. That's willpower. That's effort. It doesn't speak of try at all. It just says do it. The only way we know how to do it is to try to do it. That's a guarantee of falling. Because the enemy knows, listen, I cannot try and trust at the same time. I cannot try and trust at the same time. If I'm trying, whom am I trusting? If I'm trying, I'm trusting me. It's a dumb person to trust. I'm going to run out of try, and the enemy's going to wait for me when I run out of try. And then I will sin. I'll be sinning all the time. I'm trying. I won't be knowing it because I'm trying to. We sing that hymn called Trust and Obey, and all the time we're singing it, we mean try to obey. Let's all sing that wonderful song called Try to Obey. No, trust and obey. This, we receive these things by trusting God. God does it. I wish I had arrived at the place where I quit trying. It seems that the first thing I do is try, and the second thing I do, third thing, fourth thing, is trust. I'm just very grateful that last week I decided to trust first instead of try on this decision on whether to get the biopsy. But many times I've tried and tried and tried and say, oh, nothing left to do but trust. Now pray. You do it first. I can think of several times in my life, awful times in my life, when I had great, great plans to serve God. And I had these great plans that I sold Bessie on them. And then I endeavored to implement these plans. And I endeavored to implement them in a spiritual way. But it was all try. And the first one got shot down. And the second one got shot down. And it was obviously from God that shut it down. But I was bitter because I'd put months of planning and effort into this wonderful thing I was going to do for God. And there's one in between. There's probably several. There's another great plan I had that I was going to do this. And God vetoed every one of these. After I'd put a lot of effort planning and thinking and try into them, and God said no, I didn't like God saying no. Because I thought it was my business to do evangelism, and of course, the more the better, the bigger the better. And just wasn't true. I remember many times, many years ago, sitting in a church in Annapolis, Maryland, wondering how the pastor could miss it so badly. And I used to wish I had this congregation to speak to because I would do it right. And I realized that I would have one-on-one contacts in the bookstore, and the city was changing faster as a result of my one-on-one contacts than it was on this fellow speaking to lots of people. I said, boy, if I could speak to a lot of people, we could change the city faster. Well, many years went by, and I ended up speaking to lots of people at the Evangelical Free Church. And here is what I thought. Once I got all these people I could speak to, then we'd change it 600 times as fast as one at a time in the bookstore. No. I still had to knock heads one at a time to get in. The God's way is still one-on-one, person-person. That doesn't mean that we don't want to reach lots of people. We do. But recognizing bigger isn't better and biggest isn't best. What we need is the fruit of the Spirit. What we need is trust, not try, not mechanics, not different things we do, but different things we are. And as we are, it flows out of us. Not necessarily the right words, maybe the wrong words, but the right, the love, the joy, and the peace flows out. Not very long ago, I came across a letter, don't ask me how, it must have been something my mother had saved, and it showed up in our house someplace. It was a letter I'd written a few weeks after I was married, and I was at sea. And I wrote a long letter to my father how to treat his wife. Well, when I read this, it was probably a pretty good letter. But I wasn't about to show it to Bessie. Because I lived with 53 years since then, and she said, oh, how come? In other words, the words may have been right. It takes more than words. It takes the fruit of the Spirit. And the fruit of the Spirit comes from God, and it's received It's by grace. It's trusting. It's not trying. And the other thing is, those who belong to Jesus Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. There's certain things that are just are. The fruit of the Spirit just is. The existential nature, just they're just there for the unbeliever. Now it says, those who belong to Jesus Christ have crucified the sinful nature with his passions and desires. That's either a true or false statement. And when we say true or false, then we thank God. You say, but Jim, I don't get my theology from the Scripture. I get my theology from my life. That's a dumb place to eat your theology. You say, but I'm half of my time is in that first list. Well, I don't have the authority to say this, but if you really are a Christian, then you got 24 hours to get out of that first list, and that's too long. You don't belong there. Those that belong to Jesus Christ have crucified the flesh with his passions and desires. In the English language, it's called the indicative. The Bible is on the rostrum. The Bible, that's, you can't change it. That's what is. There's certain things that just are. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. In the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. That just is. I cannot make it happen. It's so. I don't even have to obey it. It's so. Now, when I begin to thank God for what's so, then this obedience by flipping the switch, not by effort, is the way. I don't know where we'll go from next week, but we finished the fruit of the Spirit. Now, all we have to do is thank God it's so. And believing and trusting and implementing by grace. Let's thank God. Father in heaven, thank you for your great grace that was made available to us in the death and resurrection of the Lord Jesus. Has been available ever since. Well, Father, we pray that we thank God for this fruit of the Spirit daily. In Jesus' name, amen.